What do cancer cells need to survive? We know that gene mutations contribute to the development of cancer, and research continues to identify the aberrant genetic sequences as cataloged in the Cancer Genome Atlas. However, are mutations and the proteins that they code for the principal components that ensure the survival of the cancerous tumor? According to a study published in the May 29, 2009 edition of the journal Cell, researchers at Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital conducted in vitro experiments indicating that cancer cells also rely on normal proteins. In other words, cancer cells depend on normal, non-mutated genes to survive. This may have important implications when trying to develop treatments that interfere with a cancer cell's metabolism. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Stephen Ellidge, Professor of Genetics and of Medicine at Howard Hughes Medical Institute at Harvard Medical School, Division of Genetics, Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Senior Study Author. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My first question is, what was the basic science that led you to question and investigate outside of the box of genetic mutations and their role in tumor survival?
Well, it wasn't a particular finding, but a general appreciation of how genetics works in model organisms, actually, such as yeast. And what people have shown is that it's often the case that if you have an alteration, a genetic alteration, a second genetic alteration in that cell could provide a deleterious interaction. And so in some basic genetic theory, it suggested that there would be several opportunities to slow down or kill a cancer cell based on the fact that the cancer cell already has a lot of different changes. And in general, the way that scientists and physicians have been approaching cancer therapies is they've looked for oncogenes that drive the cancer phenotype, with the idea that they create the cancer and then the cancers are dependent upon those oncogenes. And that's true, and there have been some very exciting new drugs like Gleevec that inhibit oncogenic tyrosine kinases, as we call them. These are proteins that modify other proteins but send growth signals to cells. And in those cases, if you inhibit the oncogene that causes and maintains cancer, the cancer will regress.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't that many oncogenes that are known, and many of them you can't make drugs to begin with. However, it was very likely to be the case that there are other genes out there that the cancer cell depended upon for its survival, and that the cancer cells specifically depend on for their survival as opposed to normal cells, because cancer cells, even though they seem very aggressive and like supercells, they're actually very, very messed up, essentially, because they've rewired themselves. They don't behave like they're supposed to, and because of that, they're kind of sick in a certain way, and that's something that we could take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope was that if we had a way to find the proteins and the genes that the cancer cells depend on, that we might have new ideas for cancer drugs that were not based on the oncogenes themselves.
What was your study design then?
Well, we took advantage of a revolution in science. Every 5 or 10 years, something comes along that completely changes the way people think and what they're able to do. And in this case, the revolution was the discovery of a phenomenon called RNA interference. And the Nobel Prize was given for this a couple of years ago to Andy Fire and Craig Mello. And basically what they found was that these small chemicals that transmit signals from your genome are called RNA. You can make these little small RNAs and put them into cells, and they'll silence genes. So this gave us a sort of a silver bullet where we could turn off one gene at a time in a cell and say, well, what happens to the cell, or the cancer cell in this case, when you turn that one gene off? And you can do this one at a time for every gene in the genome. So you can basically ask the question to the cancer cell, what do you need to stay alive?
Right.
And by turning off these genes, if it kills the cancer cell, you know, hey, this is something that could be a potential drug cancer target. So we've been developing this technology to apply to cancer genomes with the hopes of finding new drug targets, because it's an unbiased way. We don't have to guess at what the right answer is. The cell will tell us the answer.
And what did you find?
Well, we found quite a bit so far, and we're just in the beginning stages. We found lots of genes that cancer cells, but not normal cells, depend upon to survive. If you take these genes away, it doesn't do much to the normal cells, but the cancer cells start to die. And in particular, we decided to push the technology and say, well, what if there's just one oncogene that's turned on in this cancer cell? Can you find something that makes that toxic and kills that particular oncogenic mutation? And we chose a very famous gene called RAS. And about 30% of all tumors have a mutation in the RAS gene. And that's up to 90% of, say, pancreatic cancers. So we thought this was a very potent gene. If you add this mutant gene to cells, they become cancer-like. So it's very important for the cancer cells to behave like cancer cells. And so we looked at a cell line that had that RAS mutation and one that didn't. And that was the only change between them. And we looked for things that specifically were interfering with the RAS mutant cells. And what we found was that some very basic components of how the cells undergo cell division, a process called mitosis, which is where they, after they've duplicated their chromosomes, they segregate them into the two daughter cells. If you perturb that process, if you slow that down or interfere with it, the RAS mutant cells are very sick and they die. Normal cells, they see it and they stop and they move on. So that's how basically the whole analysis was done, and we found about 80 genes that behave this way. And some of these are potential drug targets.
So the implication is that by being able to specifically target these mutations and knowing that if you shut these down, a normal cell will go, hey, no big deal, but a cancer cell will die from it, you literally leave the normal cells alone and specifically target those cancer cells.
Yes, that's the hope. And we're still in the very beginning stages. We need to look at lots of different types of mutations and lots of different cancers to try to figure out what are the best potential targets. And once we do that, then we'll have a much better understanding of what our options are. But the most interesting thing we found was that the vast majority of the genes that we found that this cancer cell specifically depended upon were not oncogenes and were not previously implicated in cancers and are not mutated in cancers. So the Cancer Genome Atlas and studies like that aren't going to find these genes. So this is a different way to ask about what's important in cancer. It's a functional approach that we hope will yield lots of new drug targets that pharmacies or pharmaceutical companies can then take advantage of.
So what are the next steps in your research? Just given that this was an in vitro study, are you going to be now moving this over to animal models and observing if the same results occur?
Yes, that's precisely right. The next step is to take these genes and inactivate them in mouse tumor models. Now, in our study, there was a drug to one of the genes that we had identified, one of the proteins encoded by the gene, this polo kinase, and we were able to show that in a mouse model using a human cancer cell that drug could specifically kill those cells. Those are human cells injected into a mouse. Now we want to do it on a tumor that evolved in the mouse. We don't have very many options in terms of chemicals to treat these with, because most of the proteins that we found, there weren't drugs that were already existing that interfered with them, but we can still use the same technology of RNA interference to turn off the genes in the mouse.
And again, the whole point of this, from what you've mentioned, is that it's almost creating a library using the RNA interference to determine what shutting down each gene does, and then from that library, then determining, well, is there something that is now readily available to treat that or to cause the cancer cell to die? Or will this now enable researchers to develop something that matches that criteria that can shut that down?
Yes, that's precisely right.
Dr. Stephen Ehlage is professor of genetics and of the medicine at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute at Harvard Medical School, Division of Genetics at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and senior study author in the article published, the research article published in the May 29th, 2009 edition of the journal Cell. And Dr. Ehlage, I'd like to thank you very much for providing some insight into basic research and understanding, in this case, the function of certain genetic mutations in terms of the RAS gene, and as well how this then can potentially become more incorporated into future treatments. And I think this is very exciting and something that I'd like to follow for the next little while.
Well, thank you very much.